Perek Tet, Mishnah Gimel, continuing with what we've been discussing for the past couple of Mishnayos, and that is citing psukim throughout the Tanakh, which hint at various halachos. One cannot say definitively that these laws are derived from these verses, but rather there's some type of basis for these halachos in the text itself. Dead Mr. Gil begins with Na Yin Lefaletas Shikhvas Zera Bayoma Shlishi Jitmea. Where do we learn that a woman who emits Zera, a woman that emits semen, on the third day is rendered, is considered Tamei? Shinemar, a Yunachonin Lishloshes Yamin. Be prepared for 3 days. A little bit of background information, and then we'll explain the context of this pasuk. A man's sperm is tame, is metame, to a person, and if this person therefore contacts any type of kelim, any type of vessels, he would in fact be transform this item into a state of ritual impurity, into a state of tuma. Let's say, for example, a woman, after being with her husband, goes to the mikvah, and afterwards there still was semen being emitted from her. And in fact, these semen did not lose its potency. It was able to, in fact, become an embryo. It was able to impregnate a woman. She would, in fact, become tame upon having the semen come from her. So again, any semen after being with her husband, any semen that comes out of the woman, if it has the ability to become an embryo, she is in fact tame. However, a sufficient time has passed, it's been a number of days, and they're no longer potent, then she does not become tame by this discharge. So our Mishnah here teaches us, what is the number of days? What is the number of days that are considered the semen still have potency in order to produce an embryo? The Mishnah here says it is this 3-day period. Where do we learn it from? We quote a pasuk from Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, the Torah said, "Heyuna chonin liyom shlishi." We should be prepared for the third day, i.e., the giving of Bagvat Matan Torah. The Torah tells us, "Heyuna chonin lishoshes yomim al tikshu el isha," that a man should not be with his wife 3 days prior to the giving of the Torah. Why? Why is that? Because we're worried that she might become a state of tuma, she might become in a state of impurity from the semen that are discharged from her. Therefore, for 3 days prior to Har Sinai, the Jewish people should hold themselves to a higher level of purity, and therefore they should refrain from any type of relationships with the opposite gender. Interesting to note, why specifically only this type of tuma? Why were they concerned with only this type of tuma, but other forms of tuma, like, for example, zav mitzora? And we can learn from here that the only aspect that the Jewish people needed to prepare themselves with before Matan Torah, that Israel was specifically enjoined so that they could accept the Torah in a state of fear and with trembling. And that is why only this halacha of additional purity they needed to maintain before accepting and receiving the Torah. The halacha, however, is a little bit different, and in fact, the Gemara goes on to explain there's a problem with this Mishnah, because really, the halacha is no. That in fact, on day 3, a woman would be considered tahor. That is in fact, based on the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's a Mishnah in Mikvaos, the 8th chapter of the 3rd Mishnah. So perhaps then there are those who would like to explain that our Mishnah is 100% accurate. Read it carefully. Never there's an error with the language of our Mishnah. And really our Mishnah should read, "Minan lefaletas shichvas zera b'yom shlishi shehi tahora." that a woman who has a discharge of the semen on day 3 is pure. What's the proof? The Torah says on day 3 that God, divine revelation arrived, and therefore they must have been tahor in order to experience that type of divine revelation. Our Mishnah needs to be, shall we say, altered. It should say that on day 3, a woman is in fact pure, and that is in fact the halacha. So if we rejig the Mishnah to read Shehi Tahora, the halacha would in fact concur with the language of our Mishnah, because that is after all what it says in the Torah, Yunechonin Nishloshes Yamim, prepare yourselves for day 3. Mishnah continues, Minayim Shamar Chitzin Es Hamila B'yom HaShlishi Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. From where do we learn that we may bathe a baby boy that just had his Brit Milah circumcision B'yom HaShlishi on the third day Shechal B'Shabbos, even if it falls out on Shabbos? Shemar, it says from Sefer Bereishis Perek Lamed Daled, and it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain. His mission is dealing with this situation. How do we know that we are allowed to heat water and to bathe a baby? Baby just after his bris milah is considered in weak, is considered in a state of danger, and therefore it would be permitted after 3 days of his Brit Milah, he was permitted to heat water and to bathe him on Shabbos. What is the proof? The day 3 is still considered dangerous. They bring a proof. Our Mishnah brings a proof in the story of Shechem, who were circumcised, who received a Brit Milah, and specifically it was on day 3 when they were in pain, when they were in anguish after having a Brit Milah, when Shimon and Levi come and wipe out the city. And obviously, if they would not have been in pain, if they would have been okay, Shimon and Levi would not have had the upper hand in order to be able to wipe them out. It specifically says in the Torah, they waited until day 3, B'yom HaShlishi, B'yosam Koavim, when they were still in pain. And therefore, they were in pain by day 3. We see that day 3, a baby, after having his Brit Milah, is still in danger, and therefore we'd be allowed to violate Shabbos in order to ensure that the baby remained healthy after being circumcised. The last part of our Mishnah, this third case, where we try and find a sort of a proof text from the Tanakh to teach us a halacha, mina yin shekoshin loshen shel zohoris, where we learn that a strip of red wool is tied to Barosh Sar Mishtaleach, is tied to the head of the goat which is sent out on Yom Kippur, Shenemar Miyu Chataichem Kashanim Kashal Yobinu. If your sins will be like this crimson red, they will become white as snow. What is the context and what is the meaning of this Mishnah? Mishnah is from Masechet Yoma. Explain in detail that the Kohen Gadol has a lottery on two different goats, and he ties a strip, he ties a piece of crimson red piece of wool to the head of the goat that is sent out, that is sent loose. What he would do is the Kohen Gadol would do vidui over this goat, he would do vidui over this sa'ir, which was going to be sent out to the desert. And in fact, he does this in order to confess the sins for all of B'nai Yisroah. And then he would send it out to a shaliach, send it out to a messenger who would send it out to the wilderness. When this shaliach, when this agent, would arrive at the cliff that he will push off the goat from, the Mishnah goes on to describe that he would tie half of this strip of wool to a rock, and the other half he would tie between the goat's horns. After he had pushed the goat down, the strip would turn white. This would teach all of us that the Bnei Yisrael, the Chataim of Bnei Yisrael, have been forgiven. And that is the proof text of this pasuk from Yeshayahu, in the first chapter, the first paragraph of Yeshayahu, Im yu chataicha. Your sins will be red. Again, this piece of wool which originally becomes red. Eventually, kashanim, kashelgabir. And eventually, the shanim, eventually this red crimson will be transformed into white as snow. When the Jewish people's sins were forgiven, this piece of red wool turned into a white snow color strip of wool, indicating to all the people of Israel have been forgiven on this Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur. Mishnah Daled. Again, continuing, trying to find somewhat of a proof text, somewhat of a hint from Psukim in Tanakh to teach a halacha. Minayin l'sicha, shehi chash siya b'yom kippurim. Where we know that anointing, putting on oils, lathering up, is tantamount to drinking on Yom Kippur, that it is an iser d'oraisa, is one of the inuyim, one of the things that is forbidden to do on Yom Kippur, af apishen re'ela davar, even though there's actually no proof for this matter, zichla davar, there's a hint that we treat anointing is synonymous to drinking in terms of the severity on Yom Kippur. What is this proof? What is the source? Shnemar v'tavu chamayim v'kirbo v'char shemen v'atz mosa. Pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Kuf Tas in Psalms in chapter 109 verse 18 says, and it came like the water into his innards and like the oil into his bones. Since this pasuk compares the anointing with oil and the drinking of water, there is some type of connection between the two. Never both are forbidden to do on Yom Kippur. There is actually a difference halachically between them. Although they might be forbidden on Yom Kippur, there is a difference. A person who eats or drinks on Yom Kippur is liable to kares. A penalty a person receives for eating or drinking Yom Kippur is that they are cut off from the Jewish people. However, the other inuyim, the other types of afflictions on Yom Kippur, for example, washing or anointing oneself, a person does not receive kares. A person does not become cut off from the Jewish people should they transgress the other matters which are forbidden to do on Yom Kippur. So I guess really eating and drinking stands alone in its severity, but nonetheless, there are other matters which a person must refrain from on Yom Kippur. This Mishnah brought a proof to demonstrate that drinking is also similar to anointing. And perhaps our Mishnah wants to suggest that we see here that if that's the case, so a person who lathers himself with oil is transgressing one of the concepts of Yom Kippur, and it is one of the things which are forbidden to do on the Day of Atonement.